For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Power Punch. Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Oh, good evening, St. Louis. Is it evening or afternoon? You know, those are the big philosophical questions we're going to tackle here on Power Punch. It's so nice to meet you, and thank you for being here for the inaugural episode of Power Punch. My name is Larry Behrens. So great to be able to talk with you. And you know what? For the inaugural episode, I thought we'd do a little introduction. I'm going to spend the next 3 hours introducing. No, of course I'm not going to do that. We're going to get into the issues that you want to talk about. There's so much going on this week, but let's just be upfront about what this show is about. We believe that American energy is the best, and we believe Biden has messed it up, and that has messed pretty much everything up in this world. I will share a little bit about me, just so that you know. I know a little bit of what I'm talking about, and when I say a little bit, I mean really a little bit. It has always been a dream of mine to have the opportunity to speak to listeners on the radio, and I'm grateful to News Talk STL for giving me the opportunity to talk with all of you, because we want to have an engaging and unapologetic, truthful conversation about what is going on in our world, from politics to energy to cultural issues to anything under the sun. We'll be glad to talk about it. And, you know, we're going to talk about renewable resources a lot. But I think, you know, if there's going to be one theme that we're really going to get into here, the theme is going to be the only real renewable resource we have in the United States is the incompetence of Joe Biden. It is never ending. It is, I mean, if we could find a way to harness it, ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know what the price of gas would be. It would be so affordable. That's the real research that scientists should be doing. But instead, they're going to things that just really, really do not work. But just a few short things about me, and then we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff today, but just about me real quick. I am new to Missouri. When I say new, I mean I'm coming up on my two-year anniversary, and I moved here for a reason, and that reason is important for you to know. I understand, you know, many of you have probably lived here your whole life and think, oh, there's so many problems. Let me just tell you. Let me just cozy up, get real close, because this is important. I'm a blue state refugee. It is so much worse out there. Missouri, you do not know how good you have it. I'm not saying things are perfect, but you have so much good going on, but I start to see it. I'm starting to see it here just in my former state and the one where I grew up. It was just taken over by radical, insane leftists. They took a look at California and they said, let's copy that. You know, let's take a look at that terrible game plan and let's try to double down on that. And so I brought my family here. COVID lockdowns were the worst. Energy policy was the worst. Cultural policy was the worst. And I hate to be that guy, but Missouri, it could happen here. So that's the biggest issue. You want to know what Power Punch is about? We're going to talk about the things that you should know about to help prevent that from happening here. Because we all know Washington tries to reach in and mess with us at every chance they get. They want your gas stove. They want your internal combustion car. They want that air conditioner. Good luck working without that over the last few weeks here in Missouri. And they tell you it's for your own good, even though they will never give it up themselves. Just for future understanding, I am a former reporter, reformed reporter, I like to say. It was many moons ago, but I had the opportunity to work in television news, and then my face got ugly, and high def came in, and they kicked me out. And so I'm kidding. Only half kidding. That's exactly what happened. And so, but it gave me insight into how our media works and as it would be, doesn't work today. And I am going to love talking about all of that with you here on Power Punch. We're going to have guests ever so often, but a lot of times we're going to talk about what is important going on in the world right now, in our country, and in our state right now, because there is so much. It's like the best way I can describe it, it's like an avalanche of incompetence. It is like quicksand of stupidity. It is like another great analogy so I can talk in thirds. It is so terrible and it's happening so fast that, you know, I find myself as someone who follows the news, and I know you do too, I find myself looking at the headlines today trying to think of what was the headline last week? what was the dumb thing Biden did a month ago, 2 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago? Oh my God. It is so much that it is just like drinking from a fire hose of pure dumb when we talk about what this administration is trying to do to our nation and sadly what they have done in so many ways. And just so you know my perspective, I'm a family man. I have five kiddos. They're a big reason why I moved to Missouri, because you know what? When you have five kids in the state I used to live in, they look at you kind of weird. You drive a minivan, they look at you kind of weird. Okay, well, everyone should be looked at weird if they drive a minivan. But still, it was a little extra weird on top of that. And we came here to this land where the culture is wonderful, where the people are wonderful, where they understand that families are the root of everything that is good, and they understand that government is the root of everything that gets in the way of what is good. And so with that said, that's it for the introduction. And I mean, you don't know this about me, but I'm kind of proud of myself. That's like 5 minutes of introduction. That's probably the shortest introduction I've ever given to anything. And so you'll get to know more as you tune in every week here on News Talk STL, and we have our chats and everything that's going on. But we're going to get started with what the news happened this week. Yeah, that's right. What the news. That's how I say it. You know, there was, I call it a bombshell report. And we're going to get into a lot of bombshell reports. But it was a huge report, an expose, if you will, this last week. And it was on the climate agenda. Now, you all know the climate agenda is completely false. You all know that it is a way to manipulate, control, tax our lives while elite people like John Kerry and Joe Biden and AOC and everyone who follows them, the members of the squad, while they all enrich themselves, they want to do it on the backs of what we want to pay them, because they believe it is a tenet of the green movement that money changes weather. Well, we all know that that is laughable and untrue. And it was exposed that week. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to share a story with you. We're going to talk about it here a little bit. But if you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to head on over to John Stossel's YouTube channel. As much as you can stomach YouTube, totally understand. Head on over to John Stossel's channel, because he's always had really good stuff. But this week, he has a story that is unlike any other that anyone has had the guts to report. And that's why I'm talking about it, because I know you're probably not going to hear about it anywhere else. He spoke with a climate scientist, and I should say probably a former client scientist. Her name is Judith Curry. She is an academic, and she used to be a darling of the climate movement. Let me kind of set the story up for you. She says that the climate movement is manufactured consensus. It's fake. It's absolutely fake. She says that scientists have an incentive to exaggerate risk to pursue fame and fortune. Now, let me tell you a little bit about her story. Some years ago, she was one of these scientists, and she was looking into climate, specifically hurricanes. And her data showed, hey, you know what? Hurricanes are getting more powerful. Those 4 and category 5 hurricanes, they're happening more often. And she put that in a paper, a peer-reviewed paper, and the world went crazy. Right? She all of a sudden became a darling. Stossel wrote, many loved her when she published a study that seemed to show a dramatic increase in hurricane intensity. And she was treated, she was treated like a rock star. They start flying her everywhere. They start giving her a whole bunch of opportunities to speak to politicians so that they could take away our gas stoves. They start talking with her about everything, making this policy. And she's like, really, I think she's really enjoying it, as I think we all would, right? Everybody wants to talk to you. Everyone thinks you're great. Here's this paper. You have tied man's actions to more intense hurricanes, a big old fat, we told you so, right? Coming from the climate agenda. In fact, if you want to get real crazy, I would bet you a few bucks that there's more than a few climate scientists that still quote her work. But alas, not all was well in climate wood. No, it was not. So she looked at criticism of her work back when criticism was probably still allowed of the climate agenda. And some other scientists took a different approach. And they said, have you considered these years? Did you look at this element when you said that hurricanes are becoming more and more intense? And you know what she found? And she did the rarest thing in the climate community. She wanted to find the truth. And she said, you know what? My critics were right. They found a hole in my paper, a hole in my research, a hole in my theory, and they were absolutely right. So what did she start to do? Well, she was beholden to the truth more than she was the climate agenda. And they called it, no joke, they called it a ClimateGate scandal. It says it taught her that other climate researchers weren't so open-minded. They have alarmist scientists. And what they do is they have aggressive attempts to hide data suggesting climate change is not a crisis. She got the emails when she tried to go back on her own paper and say, these guys are right. It's really not tied to this. I was wrong. Well, that's when she met the teeth of the climate agenda, right? She started seeing that other scientists wanted to hide that data. They wanted to take her original thought and say, this is what is true. She found that she was no longer the darling of what was going on. She says ugly things that they'll do to hide the data. They'll avoid Freedom of Information Act. They try to get journal editors fired. And that's what we're all talking about today. Not all today. Don't worry. We'll get some Hunter Biden in there as well. We see you there, Hunter. But when you look at the scientific consensus and the scientific journals, you have these editors, these gatekeepers. It is every scientist and every professor's dream to be published in these papers, right? Those publications mean money. They mean notoriety. It is one of the singular goals of academic. Trust me, I got a master's degree. I'm right there with, I understand it. But it's also funny to note that that is one of their goals. Educating your kids is not. Fun fact, anyway. So when they say yes to that paper or no to that paper, what we find is that alarmist papers pay. It's really that simple. There's when you hear the 97% of scientists agree with this. Well, of course they do, because that's what pays. Pause for special effect. That's what pays. And so they are making money off of hysteria. And she'll say, the origins go back to the U.S. Environmental Program. She says it sets up the whole climate change industry to reward alarmism. And haven't we seen that? Isn't that what's true? Al Gore, do you remember Inconvenient Truth? They go back and fact check that now. So wrong, right? But no, he still trotted out there. He says our oceans are boiling. And you've witnessed it. We've all witnessed it. We've gone from acid rain to a hole in the ozone layer to global cooling to global warming. Hey, here's the new one I'll share with you, boys and girls. Get ready for it. They call it global boiling. Fun fact, when it's hot in July, it's global boiling. That's their new catchphrase. And it all follows a pattern, doesn't it? It follows a pattern that says, we have to be more and more alarmist. We have to be more and more doldrums. We have to make it sound so much more urgent because that way we can get more control. And you may say, Larry, you're just being silly. But you know it's true. What did they do to us when they had a COVID emergency? Another fun thing this week, boys and girls, we'll talk about it here a little more. But they want Joe Biden to declare a climate emergency. And Bumbling Joe, Short Stairs Air Force One Joe, said, oh, I pretty much already have. No, it doesn't. I mean, you know, you can't really fault him for not knowing what he signed, right? He just signs the check that come in from Hunter. But he didn't know that he hadn't already declared a climate emergency as he bumbled through one of the few interviews with the reporter this week. But just think about that for a moment. We saw what they did with the COVID emergency. What would they do with the climate emergency? And what was convenient about the COVID emergencies, ladies and gentlemen? Well, it was really convenient that they took place in the same year as the presidential election. Where are we right now, boys and girls? Oh, that's right. We're just a couple months removed from being a year out from a presidential election. What kind of emergency do they want to declare? And go ahead. You can say all you want to me. I've heard it all. Tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorists. I've heard all of it. But check your own congressional representative's feed. Look at them on Twitter. Are they talking about the demand to declare a climate emergency? Of course they are. Is the weather hot in July? Climate emergency. Cold in January? Climate emergency. These wildfires set by climate activists? Climate emergency. everything. Too much rain, too little rain. It's a pretty impressive shell game when you get down to it, but it's all under the heading of a climate emergency. And that's what Stossel uncovered this week. He said, this is how a manufactured crisis happens. Even if a skeptic does get funding, which they rarely do, it is harder to become published because journal editors are alarmists. They have journal editors saying they will never let anything into their publications that questions the climate narrative. And so let's say you're a young academic and you have been tutelaging at the feet of PhD after PhD, and they've told you, this is what the future holds. This is what's going to happen. Your grades, your future, your career depends upon what these older academics say. Yeah, they're going to follow suit. Yeah, they're going to try to scream louder. Yeah, they're going to try to find more outrageous findings. And that's it. You know, they talk about the other side, big oil. They talk about the military industrial complex. They never talk about the green climate industrial complex, do they? They never talk about the billions that flow to that. Through Hollywood, through our universities, and through our communities, it happens. It's happening in this area. It's happening all over the United States. And it is meant to put us in a position to where we can't question what happens. Well, COVID has taught us we need to question what happens. By the way, how many of those politicians who locked our kids out of school got in trouble for their terrible COVID ideas? Oh, that's right. None of them. Not a single one. It would be the same when Joe Biden declares a climate crisis. Oh, we're going to talk about so much today. Hunter Biden, I haven't forgot you. We're going to talk about Hunter and how he plays into all this. Special counsel this week, Hunter. But coming up next, in the next segment, I hope to talk with the boss of my organization, Power of the Future, Daniel Turner. That's coming up on Power Punch right here on News Talk STL.
You're listening to Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
You're listening to Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
And welcome back to Power Punch, brought to you by Power of the Future. My name is Larry Behrens, and we are so fortunate to have Daniel Turner with us. He is the founder and executive director of Power of the Future. You've seen him on Fox News. You've seen him on Newsmax. You hear him on the radio all over the country, including here on News Talk STL. And we're so glad to welcome him back because he has an understanding of the green agenda that is far and above so many others. And we're going to talk about it. DT, so great to have you, man.
Larry, it is great to be on your inaugural radio program. Congratulations on the radio show, and thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks so much. You know, I've recorded the first segment, and not a single curse word. So I think they may let me have another segment. We'll see. We'll see.
Off to an excellent start.
Thanks for joining us. You know, we have a lot to talk about this week, but I was just telling folks about how Joe Biden bumbled this week with whether or not he had declared a climate emergency. And yeah, it's, you know, it's a funny chuckle when we see that he just can't figure out what he has or hasn't signed, unless it's a front of a check from a, you know, a Chinese mining company. But when he doesn't know that he's declared a climate emergency, we have to, and we see politicians, you know, asking him, demanding to declare a climate emergency, we start to see what is really part of the green agenda as we head into the election. And I know you have some insight into what you think a climate emergency has to benefit the green agenda and how that doesn't benefit, you know, every working family in the country.
Yeah, and it's a great point. And declaring an emergency is, as the American people know from not long ago, it's very similar to when they declared a COVID emergency. And suddenly every governor or mayor who declared a COVID emergency was given these enormous powers. They could shut down your church. They could tell you you couldn't go to work for the day. They got to decide what jobs were essential and what jobs were not essential. I joke that a friend of mine who has a chicken farm, their work was considered essential. It's an egg farm, excuse me. Their work was considered essential, but the people that made egg cartons Well, their work was not considered essential. And so now he's producing eggs and he has no cartons. And this is what happens when government gets involved. And that's just one small example, but you trickle it down to the entire U.S. economy. And it explains a lot of the trillions of dollars of debt, a lot of the, sadly, suicides and depression we've seen, especially in our young people. So declaring a climate emergency is a really big deal. But if you love power, and this agenda does love power, then they're anxious for a climate emergency. They've always joked, and heck, it wasn't long ago that on the campaign trail, Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg and all the rest would laugh about, you know, are they coming after your cheeseburgers? Remember the Iowa State Fair, which is actually happening now? Go back to 2019. Are we going to regulate people's cheeseburgers? And they would laugh and say, well, you know, I think we should talk about this for the climate. So, yeah, a climate emergency that they get to decide what you can eat. If you love power, you're dying for a full declaration of an emergency.
Absolutely. And you know, if you just look at even the past 6+ months of the Biden administration and all the things they have gone after, I lose track of the list. They've gone after your gas stove. They want your internal combustion car to go away. The EPA passing rules that you should have to buy an electric car. It's, you know, a de facto mandate. Your air conditioner and your furnace. So if it keeps you comfortable, warm or cool, they want to come after it. And that is before they've declared a climate emergency. They are using every nook and cranny of his administration, bureaucrats that have never, you know, faced an electorate, that don't, you know, have really any authority from the people, but yet exercise massive authority over the states. And they've taken a look at that and said, that's not enough. We need a climate emergency as well.
We need even more. Yeah, and they could have all done this somewhat licitly when they had the Congress for 2 years. They could have passed the law. How come no legislator was brave enough to pass a law, to author a bill, you know, H.R. 423, the gas stove bill? So when they have the power to do it, they know it's unpopular. They're way too cowardly to do it. They know it will cost them their election. So they wait, and they wait until the House flips, and now they can yell at Republicans for not declaring a climate emergency. They use the bureaucracy to try to get it through the back door, and then they can campaign on it. And now we will see this summer and next summer politicians talking about how hot it is, extreme heat, and if only you elect us, boy, will we try to fix those things. But when they have the actual opportunity to enact their agenda licitly, the way our founders intended, they were all too chicken to do it.
Well, exactly right. And, you know, it's interesting when we look at, you know, no representative encapsulates this insanity, maybe more than AOC. And this is an audience that's familiar with Cori Bush. So let's just say that is a level of crazy that folks don't understand sometimes. But AOC reintroduced the Green New Deal earlier this year. It didn't get a lot of fanfare, but she reintroduced it. And to your point, she had 2 years when her party controlled the House and the Senate, and they didn't want to move it. So what does that say when they tell us, oh, this is about the earth, it's about the earth, and they don't make their moves when they have the power to move it through Congress? Does it say that their ideas are so terrible and unpopular? Or to me, it says this is just a political weapon for them. It has nothing to do with protecting the earth.
Absolutely. And it's really unfortunate we see these games happen. And it makes the American people dislike government. And I'm not a fan of big government, right? I'm not an anarchist, on the other hand, but I'm not a fan of government. But it's a growing a common attitude now that we not only dislike our government, we distrust them, and we think they actually have bad intentions. And actions like this don't help. And it's not just on the climate issue. Look at the whole swath of issues that people are running on. Student loan forgiveness, quote-unquote forgiveness, right? They could have done that for 2 years in Congress, but they didn't. Immigration reform. How many people are running right now saying it is about time Congress took up serious immigration reform? You could have passed any immigration bill you wanted, Democrats, but you didn't. Gun reform. Kamala Harris is always talking about we need common sense gun solution, common sense gun laws. You had 2 years. You could have proposed any gun law you wanted. So same with the Green New Deal. If you really wanted this, if you genuinely believed it was necessary for the viability of the world, for the health of the planet, et cetera, why would you wait? Why would you not have rushed it in the very first time you had the chance? And to your point, Larry, absolutely. It just shows that this is all about political games. It's all about campaign hot button issues to try to raise money, to try to say mean things about my opponent, to give me things I can put on social media. But there's no honesty, there's no sincerity to actually make life better for the American people.
Absolutely right. And this is switching gears a little bit, but not too much, because I think it is something that I definitely wanted to have you speak about today, especially to this audience here in Missouri. You know, you were in Nebraska about 3 weeks ago, and you noticed something that is going on with farmland and wind farms. And there is a movement obviously underway from Joe Biden and top down in many state houses to force our electric grid onto these wind farms. And I would just like you to the degree that you want, talk about what you experienced in Nebraska with these farmers and these companies coming in with their wind farms, because I think it would be fascinating for people to hear.
Well, I'm really glad you mentioned it, and especially now that you have this program, I'm sure someone is listening to us right now and saying, holy crap, that's happening in my community. And then maybe you can use this platform, we can use Power of the Future to help these folks. But yeah, this was a town hall I did in a small town in Nebraska called Greeley, population 500, where if you don't know what to do for a living right now, start a wind farm company, because the government's giving out trillions of dollars, so anyone can do it. And that's exactly the case. A company showed up, they have lots of money, they want to put up a wind farm, but what the Green Agenda doesn't have is land. And they're not going to use federal land. They need private land, which means your land, your grandpa's farm, et cetera, et cetera. They need your land for these millions of acres, and I do mean millions of acres of wind and solar farms that we're supposed to build, to have the country run by wind and solar. So they're making attractive offers. They're knocking on your door saying, we'd like to lease your land. And enough farmers are saying, I don't know if I buy this, right? That maybe these folks aren't college educated. Maybe they're not sophisticated, but they're not stupid. And when someone knocks on the door with a check and says, give me your land and I'll give you this check, they were rightfully skeptical. And so I went, I did a 4-hour question and answer with the folks about what wind turbines actually are and what they do. And as I'll tell your audience, like I told them, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you don't take the money. I can totally understand if you took the money. Farming is tough and it is exhausting, and it's sometimes you make no money. So I am not at all surprised if you all see this as attractive. I just want you to know the whole picture, right? And when has anyone ever knocked on your door before and said, I can make you rich? So just be careful. And the people of Missouri are going to face these challenges as well. They're going to come to your farm and they're going to say, sign us over your land for the next 50 years and we'll take care of you. Probably not the truth, probably not the whole story. And Power of the Future can hopefully help walk through the details.
Well, that's what was fascinating to me, is they were just asking questions, a due diligence, right? I mean, you wouldn't buy, back when people could afford cars, you wouldn't buy a car without kicking a few tires. And that's what these farmers were doing with these wind companies. Mm. And when you went to the meeting, they were asking you the questions for the wind company, and the wind company was right there. If to the degree you're comfortable, share that dynamic. How did that go?
Yeah, and it was amazing, because very honest questions. I would throw out scenarios. Look, you're supposed to sign on the dotted line, and then once you sign, you've given them access to your land. So here's a question. This wind turbine goes up. This is tornado country. I know Missouri's tornado country as well. Tornado blows through this farm, knocks down every single wind turbine. Are you getting paid? Because you really only get paid while it's producing electricity. Are you still getting paid? Silence in the room. Wind farm, where tornado comes down, it knocks over this wind turbine, spreads debris everywhere. Are you responsible for cleaning up, or is the wind farm company going to clean it up? Silence. These turbines have thousands of gallons of lubricant and fluids, because they're moving parts, right? Your audience knows machinery. Yep. There's a lot of fluid in these things. That fluid is now leaking all over, and you've got hundreds of them on your farm. Who's responsible for the cleanup? Groundwater contamination. Who makes sure that your crops are not being poisoned? Is that your responsibility or the farm? And no one would answer the question. And I would point to the men from this company and say, would you folks like to answer that? These are just very honest questions. And before you sign, don't you want to know the answer to those questions? And it was amazing to see, you know, we get knocked all the time for big oil. Ah, you guys are evil. You guys are big oil. Big Green is bigger and richer and way more evil than anything you pretend that big oil or gas or coal is. And what these folks are doing, trying to confiscate your land by keeping you in the dark about what's going to happen on it, is quite frankly un-American, and it's absolutely shameful.
And now they only have $369 billion of our money to continue to push this agenda. But it's okay.
Exactly.
It won't go to those farmers. It'll all go to China. We'll get that in a little bit. Well, we have a couple minutes here, and something that was interesting to me, and you may have seen it, but I wanted to just, you know, it's not the happy story of the day, but someone who has, you know, a cold heart for environmentalists like I do, it kind of is a happy story. I'll just read you the headline from Fox Business. Man forced to ditch $115,000 EV truck during family road trip to Chicago. He calls it the biggest scam of modern times. Did you happen to stumble upon this story?
I did, and it's just something that people who know the EV industry know. It's the same thing we were talking about wind turbines. We're not saying don't use them, don't buy them. We're just saying learn all of the facts. One of the facts is that this $115,000 EV Ford Lightning, when you start putting your wife and kids and luggage and you start driving, the mileage ability goes down. And when you put on the AC, because it's the middle of summer, the mileage goes down. And now you're on a road trip and you can't get more than 60, 70 miles before you need to charge. And the charging takes 3 hours, 4 hours. And the charging is expensive. Those charging stations aren't free. You put in your credit card and now you're paying the equivalent or sometimes even more than you were paying for gas. And so this poor guy found out the hard way that these EVs are not the salvation that the prophet Joe Biden has shared with us, right? These are not going to make our lives. It brings a whole new host of problems, challenges, difficulties. Let's just be honest with the American people about what EVs mean, just like what wind and solar and everything else on the green agenda means.
Absolutely. And for, you know, some just added, I hesitate to use the word fun, but it's fun for me, so I'll just be honest about it. For added fun, after he spent $115,000 on the truck, he had to get his house ready to charge the truck. He had to spend $10,000 for two chargers, one at work, one at home, an additional $6,000 to upgrade the electric panel at his house. By all in, he had spent $130,000 on a truck that could not get him from Winnipeg, Canada, to Chicago.
Yeah.
Daniel, thank you so much. Our time is running out. Tell us where folks can find us, even though I know the answer, you say it so much better.
It's powerthefuture.com. And if they have an extra $130,000 like that gentleman did, rather than buying an EV, maybe you could consider supporting Power the Future and our mission to fight for energy jobs.
Perfect. Thanks so much, DT. It was fantastic to talk with you. We've got a whole lot more going up. Powerthefuture.com. Go check it out. There's always new stories coming up there. But speaking of news stories, there's a special counsel for Hunter, and here's a Hunter deal that you may not have known about. We're going to talk about it coming up right here on Power Punch on News Talk STL.
This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Get charged up on the truth. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
And we're back on a Saturday afternoon / evening here on News Talk STL. Larry Behrens here with you with Power Punch, our last segment. I got to tell you, radio is like a time machine. At least when you're the one talking, it is something that just goes by really fast. You know, I promised we'd talk about it, and I deliver on my promises at least 10-15% of the time, just as much as green energy delivers, so do I. So we all saw the news, right, on Friday when there was a special counsel appointed to look into Hunter Biden. And I'm sure you've all seen the reactions, and it's the same reaction I have. The guy who was in charge of the terrible sweetheart deal that Hunter Biden already got is now going to be the person that we're supposed to trust with strength and transparency and understanding when it comes to investigating him as a special counsel. We know it's not going to work. We know it's all, as the House Republican member said, it's all just to whitewash this issue to get Joe Biden through the election. This special counsel now doesn't probably have to testify before Congress before his report done. And he could take forever. He could literally take forever and never, ever deliver any type of response. But this was the same guy who, as a federal prosecutor, a job he gets to keep, by the way, a job he gets to keep, the special prosecutor for Delaware, he is now in charge of making sure that Hunter Biden is fully investigated and brought to account. And I don't know about you, but I have utmost confidence. And when I say utmost confidence, I mean absolutely zero confidence. It's a total DC two-step move. And the American public are so much smarter than Merrick Garland and Joe Biden think that we are. They're going to see right through it. But that said, you have to be honest with just how much Hunter Biden has gotten away with through the years. And I won't even mention the laptop. The thing I'm about to tell you has nothing to do with the laptop. But let's just talk about one thing Hunter Biden did. And I'm sorry, I'm going to jump around in terms of the years, but these stories popped in 2021. In fact, they came up in 2020, but somebody was running for election then, so we didn't need to pay attention, right? You didn't need to know this information. But it all ties together. When you consider Joe Biden's absolute cult-like following of the green agenda, and you have to ask yourself why. Joe Biden knows we're all paying a ton at the pump. Joe Biden knows we're all paying more at the grocery store. We're paying more for everything. He sees that credit card debt in the United States has reached a record $1 trillion because so many of us are just trying to get by. So why? It's like the whole place is burning down and Joe Biden is standing next to the fire extinguisher, break glass in case of emergency, and he just won't do it. And we're all asked ourselves why. And when you see what his son, Hunter Biden, has done, then you start to get a little glimpse as to why. And first of all, also, let's not forget that Biden is funded by green billionaires who are stand to make a lot of money. And Joe Biden's delivered it, right? $369 billion in the Inflation Reduction Act that is turning 1 year old this week, by the way. $369 billion, you think that's going to go to helping our communities? No, it's going to go to Joe Biden's friends, which I'm sure some of that money will then end up in his campaign coffers. And the money that doesn't go to Joe Biden's friends, well, it's going to go to his communist friends. You think I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. Let's jump in the time machine, Sal. We're going to go back to November 2021. This was a year after the election, right? And so everyone felt confident in reporting the story then. Let's just take a moment and pause for the death of our strong independent media, shall we? November 2021, Hunter Biden's investment firm helped broker a deal in 2016 that gave a Chinese state-backed company control of a massive African mine rich in cobalt, a mineral essential for the production of, you guessed it, electric cars and renewable resources. That's right. You can't have those solar panels without that cobalt. Can't have that sweet Tesla without the cobalt, boys and girls. And let's just take a moment here to appreciate this. Hunter Biden was in an investment firm that helped a Chinese company buy an African cobalt mine. Just like Hunter Biden was on the board of a Ukrainian natural gas company. By the way, Joe Biden may say he hates fracking, but he sure loves it when it's in Ukraine, right? He gets the money then. So, whole blizzard of questions. Let's cut through the static. What skill does Hunter Biden have that allows him to be in these really fun positions of organizing billion-dollar sales across the world? See, energy expert, I think by his own admission, he'd say no. What does he have? Well, it's right there, literally in the name, isn't it? Biden. That's what he has. This African mine deal was orchestrated 2016. Dad's last year in office, at least back then. So the sitting vice president's son helps Chinese communist-backed companies buy a cobalt mine from an American company. How much money did he pocket? Well, no one will say. No one's going to do it. No one knows why this company that Hunter Biden was a part of was even part of the deal. Was it to, I don't know, find the right mine and help his Chinese friends get in on this precious resource? Think about it real quick. 2016, a Chinese communist-backed company gets 80% of a cobalt mine in Africa. The Congan government kept the other 20% because I know you like to know the details. Cobalt's key element of electric vehicles. Fast forward, 2021. What does Joe Biden start doing? He starts pushing a radical agenda that makes it so that we have to make more green vehicles. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? I'm sure it's absolutely just coincidental. Now, this was reported in 2020, but the New York Times, oh, the gray old lady, slow to report again, waited until Joe Biden was in office to talk about it. And he has sent billions of dollars now on these EVs. And we've seen it. American manufacturers are not immune, right? They require this critical mineral that his son helped China obtain for these EVs. Don't worry. I'm sure the special counsel's listening, and he will readily ignore all of this news. So what is just amazing about this, and I know you know, listeners, because you're on top of all of it, but how does Hunter Biden find himself in this position? How do you find yourself just negotiating deals with Chinese-backed communists to buy cobalt mines? How do you find yourself just happening to be sitting on a board of Ukrainian natural gas? Well, we all know why. And that gives us insight into why Joe Biden is so dedicated to the green cult that is pushing all this in our lives. And not to, you know, kind of conclude, I still got a few minutes here, but on a downer note, let's just take a look at what happened this week when a large bus manufacturer, I'm not going to say their name because, yeah, I totally forgot their name, but let's just replace it with the name of Solyndra and you get the idea. It was early in his administration that Joe Biden was pushing a bus manufacturing company as the answer for the future. We're all going to get around on these electrical buses. Mind you, the Ford F-150 can't get you from Winnipeg to Chicago without costing you an arm and a leg, but these buses will totally work. Oh, do they take cobalt? Yeah, sure, but his son negotiated a deal, so that's all set in stone, and you're fine with that. Well, it just turns out that Biden's Secretary of Energy, incredible woman, and when I say incredible, I mean it is incredible the way she can ignore reality and how all of us are suffering. An incredible woman who cashed out $1.6 million of personal stock with the same bus company. What a great racket. Your son organizes the deal. You use the government to buy the products made from the deal. Your energy secretary owns stock in the company that is doing the deal, and everyone's happy. Except the taxpayer. Except our families. It makes perfect sense when you look at it. The green agenda is nothing but a grift. And it just seems like it's also like that scientist said that we mentioned at the beginning of the show, right? Judith Curry. They're incentivized to tell you that things are so terrible because that's where the money is. And judging by billion here, million there, stock sale there, I'd say the incentives are pretty good. I'd say the incentives are actually pretty strong. Do they help our country? Of course not. We were energy independent, but Joe Biden had to sabotage that because he needed to make some money. Again, this is 2016. No word on how much Hunter Biden made from that. No word on if the big guy got his 10%. But here we are today. That company is now bankrupt, by the way. And that's where I want to kind of end it today. Let's just talk about this whole agenda and how it is being propped up on the back of a house of cards that is taxpayer subsidies, tax breaks, and so much government money, because it cannot and it will never stand on its own. This bus company had a press conference from the president. I mean, you could run that like a commercial and just, you know, go crazy with all the green dollars that would flow in. They're still going bankrupt because their product is not one the American people want. And we see this time and time again. We see these things that cannot sustain themselves. You want to buy an EV? They're going to throw so many tax breaks at you. It's still not going to be worth it. It's still not going to help you when it's winter and you only have 10 miles left in an electric vehicle and you're stuck in traffic and you need the heater going. These are terrible products, but people are lining their pockets along the way. So Joe Biden has to mandate that you buy them. And that's where we've arrived at. Used to remember, at least from what I understand, you know, the green movement in the 60s was very much, in my estimation, you look at it and you say they were very much an isolated community. They're like, hey, we just want to live the way we want to live, and we're going to go out and live the way we want to live. And the world said, okay. But then they started creeping into our cultures and our way of life. And start saying, you know, this is the way we live and it's better and you should live that way. Thanks, looked at it, don't want to do it. I like my kids. That's why I had more of them. But now it's turned to, you haven't chosen the way we told you to choose, so we have to force you. They'll tell you their windmills are cheaper. They'll tell you their solar panels are cheaper. They'll tell you their EVs are better. They'll tell you the whole future is just right around the corner. And yet, they won't give you the choice, because if they did that, you won't choose what they want you to choose, and they can't leave that to chance. So they have to mandate it. They're going to take that manufactured crisis from the scientist, force it down your throats, our throats. I would not be surprised if we see a climate emergency within a year declared by Joe Biden. What's that going to mean? It's going to mean that Congress just doesn't matter at all. I mean, really, it's kind of like you looked at Emperor Palpatine in Star Wars and just said, you know, I could rule just more single-handedly if I just declared an emergency. Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. You have the Bidenomics of record gas prices, the highest inflation in a generation. It's okay, a little hyperbole, but you almost have to take out a second mortgage just to go to the grocery store. You feel it in every single place. And it all comes down to one thing. It comes down to a radical ideology that Joe Biden will never let go, because that is his payday, his son's payday, his grandchildren's payday. Well, not all the grandchildren, but that is the family grift. And that grift is multiplied by so many people that you have to wonder, they can make the deep state look like a small town in the middle of nowhere. And they're not going to stop. They are not going to stop, because they want into every room of our house every single day. They want to control how much electricity you use and when. They want you to get used to energy poverty, to say maybe you shouldn't run that thermostat at a temperature that we don't like. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to say when the green movement comes at you and say, you don't care about the earth? What are you going to do when they start saying, maybe you're watering your lawn a little too much? Maybe you shouldn't mow your lawn for an entire month just because we say so. Maybe you should be mowing your lawn with a gas-powered vehicle. The examples are literally just piling up right now. And that's before he's declared his climate emergency. I don't have a happy story to end on. I'll try to end on a happy story when these shows take place in the future. For now, I just want to say that this is just an example, an opportunity of what you're going to get when you listen to Power Punch here every Saturday on News Talk STL. We're going to be unapologetic about what we say about the truth, and we're going to say it because it needs to be said. You know what? If you want to send your hate email my way, you can just larry@powerthefuture.com. I'm always happy to quickly delete emails from hippies that don't like me. You can find me on Twitter, Larry Behrens. It's just the name altogether because that's how Twitter works. Do they still call it Twitter? Well, that's right. I'm a Generation X, and so I'm just going to keep calling things as they are because I remember dial-up, and that's how that works. Thank you all so much for joining me this week. I look forward to talking with you again next week. Let's do it again. Connection is made.
You're listening to Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL. For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.